Thank you, Eileen and children, for introducing us to the theme this morning. As long as we're connected to the roots, we can continue to bear fruit. That's a powerful sermon right there. Thank you. I'm grateful this morning Claire Kaufman will be bringing us a message. If you don't know, Claire is an expert orchard manager of the Kaufman Fruit Farm. And this morning, this sermon is we're gonna hear about some of his expertise with managing fruit trees and lessons we can learn from the orchard. So, Claire, we're excited for the message you have this morning. God bless you as you bring it. Claire asked me to read John 15:1-12. So listen as we read the Word of God. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch from me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Claire, blessings to you as you bring the message this morning.
So maybe I'll start with just a little bit of a warning to all of you. If you offer something to Randy in the form of speaking in front, we'll probably take you up on it. But he was going on sabbatical, and maybe I'll offer to help out in some way. So I said something, and so now here I am. Because the schedule was already full work today. So I was late in my volunteerism, but he didn't let that keep me from getting me up front here. So. But thank you for the opportunity, Randy. I do appreciate the opportunities. So thriving and... Can I find a clicker? I do. I've titled the message Thriving and Fruitful. And my goal is to take lessons from the orchard and analogies and apply them to the fruitful Christian life. I believe there's something pretty deep within all of us to want to be useful, productive. And that desire, I don't think, it doesn't really go away as we get older. We like to be this perfect picture, you know, a productive plant like an apple tree, and bearing wonderful fruit for the world around us. (Clears throat) we have a main desire to achieve and to really do something for God. But I'd like for us to just stop right there and pause for a moment and think of all the symbols in the world around us that kind of shape the way that we think about being productive. You know, I think sometimes we think of God as our supervisor or our employer. And, you know, every once in a while we have to have that performance review and talk about, you know, what we've accomplished this quarter. Or we're meeting for a interview and we're trying to sell ourselves. You know, here's my portfolio. Here's everything I can do and here's what I've done. And, you know, in the workaday world, in the corporate world, we have a lot of pressure, I believe, to achieve something in the work that we do, and to also make sure that, you know, we're really delivering the goods when it comes to productivity. And also in that world, the end goal is the product. You know, it's to really put that out there, make it available for the customers, and the more of it, the better, right? Because then the profits go up. But there's where I'd like for us just to stop a minute and consider how very differently fruit is produced in the kingdom of God. Productivity in the kingdom of God, I believe, is born from a very different place, and it looks very different than the many, many metrics for success and productivity that we have around us. And so as we go through this, I just kind of like you to be thinking the symbols in our heart when we think of bearing fruit in the kingdom of God really need to stand in contrast in some ways to the ways that we think of productivity in the world around us. So I'd like you to take courage. I hope that at the end of this morning, you can be in a place where you don't feel that impulse to despise your ineptitudes and your underachievements or lack of achievements. Because I believe hidden in them is the path to spiritual maturity and spiritual fruit. Thank you so much, Eileen, for starting us out on what that fruit is. Let's be thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not going to unpack those fruits as we go forward, but that's what we're talking about. So the question, as an example, would be, how do we become more loving? Or what does love look like when it grows in our lives? The fruit of love, how does that become? How does that grow? In some ways, that's not very natural. It's not like we created another widget and that, you know, what we were doing this many last week, we upped it, and this week we can do more. The fruit of love is born in a very different way. But I think sometimes we know what we should look like as Christians. We know what we should be producing. We know what the fruit should look like. And we feel the pressure to get there without focusing on the roots, right? That connection to the vine. And so we have this tree and the fruit isn't too fancy or there's no fruit on it. And so we quickly grab some fruit from over here, get some twisty ties and start, you know, tying them on the tree. And that's just not the way fruit is produced. So I'd like us to just get our focus off of the fruit and onto what is bearing the fruit, what is growing that to make the system produce fruit. So the paradoxical reality is somewhat of an upside down normal in the kingdom of God. So the way that fruit is produced, I suppose we could use the word thriving to describe many things about the Spirit's work in our lives. But I think that some of the best fruit was produced when it doesn't feel like we're thriving at all. So I'd like to just kind of unpack that for the rest of this time. So what is normal in fruit production? And I'm going to flip back and forth between scripture and analogies from the orchard. What is normal in fruit production? Fruitfulness is normally born in hardship, in woundedness, and imperfection. You might have heard me say before that winter is an absolute necessity in the life of an apple tree. We have what you call chilling requirements. If there is not enough chilling hours in the winter time, the tree will not blossom in the spring. So when a certain number of chilling hours or the chilling requirement is met, it triggers a hormonal response in the tree to switch over into reproductive mode. So reproduction equals fruit bearing. Without that winter, without this long season of cold, that tree cannot shift into a reproductive state. I think that speaks for itself. It's just, there's no shortcut. It's a must be. It's a in orchard language, it's a chilling requirement. Kind of the first phase. The second thing is what was read in the scripture in John 15. So if you want to just open again to John 15. Look at that a little bit. And that's the whole symbolism behind pruning. I believe here the picture is a vineyard, but very similar to an orchard. Pruning is, I imagine C.S. Lewis would have called it a severe mercy. The tree really, it would seem that you should just let it be, and why take a lobber to that thing and just start, you know, whacking away at branches? And yeah, it's very severe. It's amputation. Amputation of the limbs. But what I love in John 15 is the language that you see in this passage. Language of connection, of abiding, of love. There's a deep interaction between the vine dresser here, the father is the vine dresser, and the vine. And it's, you know, looking at that thing and saying, that branch could use a little bit of trimming. And taking, believe it or not, in the middle of that harsh winter, could it get any worse? The orchard just comes along and starts cutting the tree. But anyway, taking that and literally producing a wound on the tree, taking a limb off and making a wound. But it is true that it's necessary for that tree to bear more fruit. There's things about pruning that, well, for one example, very upright, fast-growing, showy, vegetative wood is not generally reproductive in nature. And so some of that very upright, rigid, fast-growing, showy stuff has got to go, and it gets cut out. Sometimes we do what's called renewal pruning. So a limb's been on the central axis for some time, and it's starting to shade out other branches, and the wood is becoming less fruitful because apple trees, their fruit buds are on second-year wood, and the more second-year wood you have, the more productive the tree is. Anyway, so we want to do what's called a renewal cut. We'll take that branch right back to the trunk and leave a stub on that branch and it'll actually shoot out new shoots and a year later start producing a higher quality fruit. But I like the word that we use for that. It's called renewal pruning. So sometimes those hard cuts bring a burst of new life into a section of the tree that's just kind of getting unproductive or it's just kind of blocking the sun, because everything we do there is about harvesting the sunlight. So that renewal cut lets the sunlight, it lets the light in, and the light is what produces good fruit. So in John 15 here, you would almost think that this language of intimacy is just outrageous. How can Jesus kind of use this intimate language when he's talking about these severe cuts? Well, I do believe those of you who have walked with God for some time know that some of the times when God has been the closest to you has been through some of your most difficult circumstances. And sometimes that's not something you feel at the moment. But let's say you have a very difficult year. You get to the end of that year and you look back and you see, you just kind of reflect on those hard times. And you think, oh, God was there. He was very closely involved with that process. And I feel like I'm in such a different place now than I was a year ago. And why? Because two things, hardship and the presence of God in that hardship is like a recipe for something new to come forth. It's like a recipe for fruit. Okay, the third one there, born in hardship, woundedness, and imperfection. So a little bit of a shift here, but one of the things that is kind of an irony in the orchard is that really there are some things that you would think you would want to completely eradicate from your orchard. Pests. But in doing so, you might create a secondary problem. So many of you are familiar with the ladybugs, that they're a beneficial insect. Well, why are the ladybugs a beneficial insect? Because they eat aphids. A ladybug larva can consume many, many aphids in a day. Well, if I very fastidiously try to eradicate all the aphids from my orchard, guess what? No ladybug food. No ladybug food, no ladybugs. So and that's just one example of actually many. The soil microorganisms are the same way. If we try to eradicate the soil of all harmful pathogens, all harmful fungi and bacteria, it would be basically a sitting duck for a lot worse diseases. But there's this balance of beneficial organisms and pest organisms. And the beneficial, as long as they greatly outweigh the pest organisms, there's a good balance there. Maybe the lesson is self-evident. A perfect environment is not necessarily the perfect place for good fruit production. Even in a greenhouse, they have issues with this sometimes. Certain plants, if they don't get enough wind, they don't want to stand up. They don't get strong roots. So that bit of adversity coming in, that pest organism can help these other things kind of respond to that. It can even develop a greater immune response in the tree. It gets nibbled on occasionally, or gets a disease occasionally. It's just like our bodies, and we have a lot of resistance to some of these things, and our immune system is better. So there's two things that are created. Resiliency is a word that I'd like to point out. These things that kind of make for an imperfect environment create a resiliency that allows a tree to keep on producing fruit in a somewhat imperfect environment. But an absolutely perfect environment, absolutely clean environment, a sterile environment, is not actually a very good one for production. So, some of these things put together remind me of the words of Peter. I forget which chapter, 1 Peter, I think it's 3 or 4. Talks all about suffering and trials. Now, we should rejoice. Always, that's counterintuitive. But I think the lesson is here. We have that desire to have this fruit. We want to be a more loving person. We want to have more joy in our lives. We want to be more gentle and more faithful and all these things. But there's no shortcut to getting these things. We have to go through the winter. We have to go through the pruning. We have to be in that imperfect environment. And that's when these things begin to be born. So another thing about fruit production is that the path is slow and unglamorous. Just a bit about apple trees, for example. Some days I wish I'd be a lettuce farmer. Because I can plant something and harvest it, a month later and be done, and if it didn't go well, just do it again. But apple trees, it takes years, first of all, to even be at fruit bearing age. And then, believe it or not, the fruit buds for next season will actually begin to develop here in a couple of weeks. And so, that fruit bud is literally on that tree for over a year before it's harvested as fruit. It's a very slow process. And we kind of wait patiently for a long time as organisms to see that develop. And a lot of things can go wrong from the beginning of that bud being formed until it actually bears fruit. But it's a constant reminder to me, especially since the fact that I am somewhat of a fast-paced individual. I tend to work very fast, work so fast I throw my back out. As a youngster, I was very bouncy and running around all the time, maybe a little bit like that young man sitting back there. And this has been a great in my life to work with trees, because they're just so slow the way that they respond. There are actually some new science is tracking the way that trees communicate. Very fascinating. They communicate with each other through their root systems and through the microorganisms in the soil, and also through electrical pulses. But the speed is extremely slow, and I love how R.R. Tolkien represents this in his stories about the ants. They just move incredibly slowly. But I forget, and I should look this up before I came this morning, but like the speed of that electrical pulse through the tree is like, I don't know, I'm not even going to say a number, but it's more than many, many more times slower than the communication that goes through your body, through your nervous system. So again, there's no shortcuts in fruit production. It's a slow process, and I think sometimes we're very impatient when we don't see that fruit on our tree. I should be more loving. I should be, these things. Just to take a deep breath and to say, God, this is the season of life I'm in right now. This is the type of person I am right now. What is there right now in this moment that is slowly bearing fruit? And I think the Spirit, if we open ourselves up to the Spirit, can help us to visualize not just what we are, but what we're becoming. And say, in agreement with God's Spirit, you know, maybe in 10 years from now, this is what I'll be. It's not going to be tomorrow. But that desire opens us up to that slow work of the Spirit. And I know Paul is an example. He had a Damascus Road experience. He had a glorious conversion. And in an instant, the scales fell from his eyes. And we have those experiences in our lives, where in an instant, we know there was a conversion in our heart. There was a change. We know that this is a signpost that I am on the way. But I think the vast majority of our lives are not things that happen in instants, they're things that happen slowly over time. And Paul, he talks about Ephesians 4, growing up into Christ in all things, into the stature of Christ. The word of the scriptures, and I think the King James all uses the word perfect. What it means by that word is mature. And I think every time in the scriptures when that word is used, it's you get the sense that it's a process. It's not an overnight thing. So Paul, I believe, you know, the Paul of Acts 9 on that Damascus road, years later he writes in Ephesians, you know, and you kind of get the idea that he is still growing into the stature of Christ, into that person that is like Christ, into that person that's fruitful. So what do I mean when I say fruitfulness is normally unglamorous? Well, I mentioned earlier about some of that upright growth and how unuseful it is in a tree. It's not typically reproductive. I have a small block of apples, and it depends on the variety. Apples can be very upright or more leafy. And some of the varieties that are very upright are hard to get them to fruit and to yield, you know, to their really good potential. The ones that are naturally leaping to have it, tend to fruit prolifically every year. So the one variety that I love, the variety, but it's very upright, and it's called Nittany. So I was out there in this young Nittany block a couple years ago, so pleased. These trees just shot up out of the ground, which is, you know, the way we like it, and they get to their full height quickly. But once they get to their full height, we like their branching structure to start to do this. Not earthing to do this. Because a branch that's horizontal or slightly bent it actually has a hormonal change and switches into reproductive mode versus vegetative. So what to do about these nitty? We actually had to go out there and, well, part of it was just prune out some of these very upright branches. But we actually went out there with what we call limb spreaders. There's this like long sticks, and we take it between the trunk and the limb, and force the limb into a horizontal position. And then after half a year like that, it will harden up and it will stay there. And once it gets into somewhat of a horizontal position and starts to fruit, that fruit will weigh it down and keep it in that horizontal position. So often we have this kind of stuff going on. We just really move for, you know, as heavy a crop as possible to weigh those branches down so that the next year we can see an even better reproductive response. An apple tree has what's called apical dominance, which means the growth tends to be on the apex. And to me it's just an interesting analogy. It's like these nitty trees, these branches were all clamoring for the top. And, you know, here's the central leader. In our John 15 example, that's Christ. And you have all these secondary branches, you know, all trying to be the leader. And what happens? the system is unproductive. And it's like, these branches need to understand, there just needs to be one leader in the tree, one central leader, and one apex, and then all the rest, properly connected to that, and that accountability can begin to produce fruit. And so, we have these experiences in our lives that are very humbling. And we think, why must it be? But I think God, in His mercy, does sometimes just take our branch and bend it down and say, next year, we're going to bear fruit. You know, think of the people around you. That person that is especially, that elder that's especially wise. You know, I'm pretty sure they've had some stories to tell us in their lives of their particular foolishness. That person that's faithful knows the fidelity of their owner and other persons. Learn the hard path of faithfulness. Just think of Peter. You know, that impulsive disciple. You know, he didn't, the Peter of 1 Peter is not the Peter in the Gospels. And how did he get that way? Through the humbling work of God. So we want to get over here. We got to go through the process. Or give ourselves up to the process, I think would be a better way of saying. So finally here, fruitfulness is normally produced with deep dependency on others and great generosity for others. Here again, we see a big difference between the productivity that is in the world around us versus what the fruit of the Spirit looks like when it's produced. So, if I'm trying to develop my portfolio and to, you know, prepare myself for that next performance review, it's really all about me. It's what I can produce, what I can say, I did this on my own. And in an apple orchard, the interactions are so complex in the ecosystem. An apple tree could never say, I did this by myself. That I don't even think if they have a mind to think this, it would never even cross their mind to say that. And I'm just going to give a few examples. But before I go there, I just want us to just consider for a moment these fruits that we desire to have, that we desire to show, that we desire to share with the world and to bring to the kingdom of God. These don't necessarily come from us as an individual, as an autonomous, independent individual. It comes from a whole collection of inputs from those around us. And experiences. And if we just reflect on that for a moment, realize this good thing coming from my life, it just didn't start with me. It came through me. From others and to the work of God's Spirit, and now it's producing fruit. So let me just explain some things about how the orchard has these different interdependent relationships. And they are many, and we can talk for many hours about them, which to me is a quite fascinating part of the orchard ecosystem, or any ecosystem for that matter. Underneath the soil, I don't know why you can see that, sure. Underneath the soil, in the rhizosphere, in the root, around the root system, of every, virtually every living plant, I think like 98% of plants would have this, is what they call mycorrhizal fungi. Very small, microscopic fungal hairs attached to the root system of a tree. And a host of various small and microscopic organisms in the soil that all interact with each other, but with the tree and across species to produce a very productive system. So let me just go through the just a real crash course in the metabolic cycle of an apple tree. So how does an apple tree make its energy? From the sun. So on its leaves, it's, you know, receiving the sun, and the chlorophyll is producing basically carbohydrates or sugar from the sunlight. Now the interesting thing is, what does the tree do with that? Especially right now, there's a flush of photosynthetic activity. Now a nice amount of that is going to the buds, because they are trying to go through this very fast cell division period in the next 2 weeks. And then probably just after that cell division stage, when the fruit begins to just size, a lot of that photosynthesis during the month of June, for example, May, June, we're talking 60 to 70% of those sugars that are produced from photosynthesis. Guess what they're going? They're getting pumped out of the tree into the ground. The tree is just literally giving it away. And where is that going? That's being digested by the microbiome, mostly bacteria. They're digesting that, scavenging minerals from the soil, using the sugar from the tree, digesting it, dying, pooing, and the end result is something that's very useful for the tree. Much more useful than the tree can't just grab minerals from the soil. They're discovering. It really needs that bacteria as a starting point. So that bacteria is doing its thing, and once a day, the soil breathes. Breathe in, breathe out. And we all know carbon dioxide and oxygen, right? So what's it taking in? Oxygen. The soil is taking in oxygen. And in the morning, there's a flush of carbon dioxide. And we would think that, well, it's because all the people breathing around here, that's what the plants can thrive, because the plants need carbon dioxide. Well, a huge amount of carbon dioxide is coming from the soil. Just think of the rainforest, for example. You know, where does it get its all? Well, it's carbon dioxide. Well, it's coming from the soil. So it's microbial digestion, and so producing this flush of carbon dioxide and these byproducts from the metabolic process. The tree takes it up. Now it can synthesize proteins. It cannot synthesize proteins on its own. So, you know, your whole amino acid complex and all that, now it begins to do this, using this stuff and creating these proteins. And guess where it sends its surplus protein? Once again, down to the roots. This time, this is a more complex molecule, right? The proteins are then digested by the mycorrhizal fungi. And more nutrients are scattered from the soil, put together in these little packages. The tree takes it up again, and this time it can produce lipids, fats, which is basically the apex of metabolism in the apple tree. So there's your crash course. How this bartering happens, or this exchange, I just don't know, but I think it's amazing, because there's this no-strings-attached economy. It's just giving it away, and then it comes back, it gives it away again, comes back, gives it away again. And I think it's a beautiful picture of fruit production in our spiritual lives, because we have all these gifts around us. Gifts from other people, gifts from, you know, that come, gifts of the Spirit that come to us through other people. And they're just for us. But what we do, we create a new package with it and send it on its way. And then we receive more gifts from others. We create a new package with it and send it on its way. And the fungi, they have no way to create energy. They're not above the soil. They can't get the sun. So the plants kind of start the process by making energy from the sun. If there would be no sugar coming from the plant, no proteins coming from the plant, these underground organisms could not survive. which is why you find none several feet down. Just a beautiful picture. So let's take it back to us one more time. Do a quick review here. Let's just ask ourselves these questions one more time. What are we producing? Or what are we trying to produce? It doesn't look the same as the things that your employer wants you to produce. Hopefully your employer doesn't want to produce this for you. Just think about the hardship, the pruning, the imperfect environment, the slowness of the process, the humility that's tied in, that's necessary in the process, the dependency, the interdependency that's necessary for the process, and the result of generosity that is a part of the process. And what you have is the fruit of the Spirit. So again, I don't know how you feel this morning, whether you feel like you're a highly productive person, that you've achieved a lot. I like to say, who cares? Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. Just stay there. Just be where you're supposed to be. Let it happen to you what needs to happen to you. And don't sweat the fruit. That will happen as a result of these processes.